are beginning what I believe to be an exciting season at TRC. I believe it is one of the most important tasks a church can endeavor to do, and that is to look at ministry and look at the gifts and see how they match up. And so this morning I'm beginning an emphasis. I'm not calling it a series because we're going to stay here for a few weeks as long as the Lord has us here. An emphasis entitled "Every Member a Minister." Now let me say, I use the word member not in the sense of church membership. I use the word member as in the sense of a member of the body of Christ, a part of the body of Christ. And so as we begin this emphasis, I encourage you for the next few weeks, make every effort to be consistent because we're going to be dealing every week with a different aspect, and I believe God's going to speak to us. Now, having said that, we need a word from the Holy Spirit this morning, right? We need a word from the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to place your hand on your Bibles and let's pray together. Father, we thank you and we praise you that this is your word in written form. The prophets of old understood it to be that the words that they wrote were the words you spoke to them. And so, Lord, we believe and ask you this morning to write on our hearts a word. Holy Spirit, we need you to come and speak into our lives, speak in our hearts today, and let us hear from you, your words. And we praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. She wants to help me preach this morning, and that's quite all right. Have you ever been listening to a topic or someone speak or a lecture? And as they lecture or as you study or read about this topic, the same thing keeps coming up over and over and over again. And it clues you in that, okay, this is crucial, this is important, this matters. And so, having said that, I wonder, what did the church at Rome and the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesus and the church at large in the ancient world, what did they all have in common? Because when you read about the gifts of the Spirit, as we're fixing to in just a moment, you see this same topic coming up over and over and over again. In fact, I'd go further than that. Not only what did the church at Rome and Corinth and Ephesus and the church at large have in common, then what do we sitting here in this sanctuary right now, what do we have in common with them? What is it about the gifts and the ministries that the Holy Spirit, if he were speaking to us today, what would he say? And here's the thing is, I believe he is speaking today, right? He indeed is. If he were to speak today, if he speaks today, and indeed he does, then what he said to them, what he repeated to them over and over again, you and I need to clue in. You and I need to tune into, because I believe it sets the tone for everything that is to be said about the gifts of the Spirit and about ministry. And so this morning, I want us to talk about that just for a few moments. What I want us to do, there are four passages of Scripture, and we're going to read through a portion of them quickly, and I want to set them in context for you, and then I want to draw out of that what I want us to see this morning, what I feel the Holy Spirit would have us see this morning, and make three observations about it, and that's what I think the Holy Spirit would have us see this morning. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans, the 12th chapter. Turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. A verse is coming up on the screen. And I want to set the context. When the Holy Spirit is speaking in Romans, the 12th chapter, the context there is that God has gifted every individual and every person. That's the context in which Paul is writing here in this particular letter to the church at Rome. And in that, he says this in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but also the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. That's the first reference to the gifts of the Spirit. The context is that everybody has been given a gift, and that's what the Holy Spirit says about it. Now, flip over to your right, just a little ways, 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, you'll see the second list. The second list, the context here is that it is the Spirit. Now track with me. I'm just going to read through these and I want to draw out some conclusions. The context here is that it is the Spirit that gifts. That it's the Spirit that is the one who is giving the gifts. He is the administrator. He is the bestower. He is the one giving the gifts. In fact, this is the text that we used a few weeks ago. He starts out by saying, look, I don't want you ignorant about spiritual gifts. But I want you to know about them. And then he goes in verse 4 and he begins to speak about the various spiritual gifts, the ones that I mentioned a few weeks back and the ones that we'll deal with in a little more depth in a couple of 3 weeks. But then he gets to verse 12, and this is the verse that's coming up on the screen, and listen to it and see if you can pick up what was said in the last groupings of those gifts. Verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one body we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. In fact, the body is not one member, but many." Then he repeats it again in verse 20. He says it this way, "But now indeed there are many members, but one body." Look down a little further in verse 27. Look what he says there. "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." Do you see it? Now flip over to the right just a little bit further to Ephesians. Just a little bit further. Ephesians chapter 4. You'll see the third list. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Actually, what's coming up on the screen is verse 11. The context here, and I will deal with this more fully in another message. The context here is resurrection power, that the gifts are given by Christ in resurrection power. And I will talk about that a little more in another message. But notice what he begins saying in verse 11. "For he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Verse 14, he says, "so that we can no longer be tossed to and fro like children." But verse 15, "but speaking the truth in love, for whom," verse 16, "the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth to the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now, is there any doubt in anybody's mind this morning? Keep your hand there because we're going to look at one more reference. But before we do, is there any doubt in anybody's mind there? What is repeated over and over and over again? What is it? Help me. The body. Yes. Over and over and over again. In fact, in these few verses, all of these dealing with the list of the gifts of the Spirit, the thing that the Spirit keeps saying over and over and over and over again is about the body. We are one body. We are many members of one body. In fact, in these few verses, 10 times in these few verses, the Holy Spirit repeats it over and over and over and over again. Is there any doubt in anybody's mind that what the Holy Spirit is wanting us to understand, wanting them to understand and wanting us to understand, is that the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit, all of the gifts, and we're going to talk about all 25 or 30 of them at some point. I'm going to touch on all of them. But the point he was trying to make is this, is that gifts are meant for the body, to be used in the body for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to see. He's making it very clear that the body is the emphasis. The body sets the tone for everything else that we're going to talk about in this emphasis. It is all about the body of Christ. 10 times he repeats that over and over again. Let me show you one more verse. Flip over a little bit further, nearly to the end of your Bibles, to Peter. The book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter is just after the book of James, which is just after the book of Hebrews. 1 Peter, I want to read this verse to you. The phrase "the body" is not used here, but I want you to listen to how many times "one another," the word "one," phrase "one another" is used. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. "By the end of all things is at hand, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If he ministers, let him minister as with the ability that God supplies, in all things that God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Do you get the picture here? When the Holy Spirit comes and begins to speak about spiritual gifts, when he begins to come and talk about ministry, when he begins to come and talk about us actually being the body of Christ, ministering and touching lives, it is always in the context of the body, of the body. Everything that I want to say this morning is wrapped up in this one statement. It's an imperative. It's an imperative. Here it is. For the church to fulfill its God-given mission, then the body of Christ must be fully equipped and fully effective. Therefore, every member must be a minister. There it is. That's the whole series, that's the whole emphasis in one statement, and that is this. Listen to me. For the church to be, I'm talking about the global church, to be what God desires for it to be, and for the local church, that is the Rock Church, for us to be what God has called us to be, I believe with everything in my heart that we must be fully equipped and fully effective. And for that to happen, every member must be a minister. Look to somebody on your right or your left and say to them, I'm a minister. Ministry is not about titles. Ministry is not about positions. Ministry is, listen to me, our world today has gotten real mixed up and real enamored with titles and with positions. That is not what ministry is about. Ministry is about being an effective, functioning part of the body of Christ. What part does God want me to play? And the only way, listen to me, I know as you look around this morning, there are a lot of empty chairs. Not a lot of empty chairs, there's some empty chairs this morning. But as you go to work tomorrow, you'll see a lot of people who are not in church. You'll see a lot of lives that are messed up. You'll see a lot of people that are in desperate need. And here's what I know this morning. The world needs the church to be the body of Christ again. And for us to be the body of Christ, we must be functioning fully and effectively. And for that to happen, every member must be a minister. Every person must know their gifts. They must be growing in those gifts, and they must be functioning in those gifts for the local body of Christ to have the impact on the world that God designed it to be. Here's what I know in my spirit. There is more that God has planned for TRC than we are seeing. There is more that God has planned for TRC than we are experiencing. There is more that he has in store for and through TRC than we are. Listen, I don't believe we are even beginning to yet approach the place that we are fully functioning as God would have us to. And for that to be the case, every member must be a minister. Every member. Now, this morning, I want to take a few moments and I want to make three observations about that. About that statement, I want to make three observations because I think it's crucial and important that we all understand this. That idea of us being the body of Christ, of Stacy being part of the body and Ginger being part of the body, of Clive being part of the body, of Simi being part of the body, of Sister Purvis being part of the body, that statement, there are three things that I want to observe, three things that are absolutely crucial that you know when it comes to the body of Christ in this context that we are talking about this morning. The first thing is this. The first thing, observation I make is this. Every member is unique. Every member is unique. Look to your, I want you to make an observation this morning. Look to your right, your other right. Look to your left. Do you know that humans are 99.9% exactly the same? Genetically, we are 99.9% exactly the same. Everybody here has hair, well, and some more than others. Don't go there, Simi says. Everybody here has two hands, you have two feet. As far as I know, everybody has 10 toes on your feet. If you don't, I don't care to know about that. Everybody here, your organs are made up the same. The digestive tract is attached the same. The heart is in the place, and the blood vessels go basically the same place. The lungs, they function, and they carry and exchange oxygen in the lungs pretty much exactly the same. The liver is taking out poisons and bile and so forth. We are 99.9% exactly the same. But there is by some estimates, one in 10 billion chance that anyone else is exactly like you genetically. What's the point? The point is we have a lot in common. We have a lot in common, but every single one of us is different. We have a lot in common. There's a lot that we have in, that is in common one with another, but there is still this uniqueness about us that no two persons are exactly alike. What does that mean? That means this. That means this morning that God has gifted and talented and equipped every one of you this morning in a different way. He's given you a different set of skills, a different set of talents, a different set of gifts, a different set of abilities. He made you unique. Do this. Look at somebody and with a straight face, look at them and say, you are different. Oh, are you different, right? You are different. Every one of you this morning, and you're having too much fun with that. I can see it going on right now. Every one of you are alike, yes, but you are different. God made you special. In fact, do that. You know you want to do it, don't you? Look to him and say, you are special. Turn to somebody and say, you are special. Yeah, you like that even better than the other one, didn't you? You are special. Listen to me. You are special. God made you unique. Mary, he put a particular set of gifts and talents and abilities inside of you. And there's nobody else in this congregation just like you. Nobody else. He gave you a particular set of talents, a particular set. And he made a combination of that with your personality. He made you just like you are. And he made you in his image. Here's what I think many Christians today have lost sight of just how peculiar you are. I don't mean that in a good way. How uniquely you are made in the image of God. Listen, when God made man, he looked down and he didn't say, it's okay. It'll do. It'll get by. He didn't even say it was good. He said, it is. Is very good. When God made you, Larry, he said it is very good. Margaret may not say it's very good, but God said it's very good. Donnie. When God made you, he said it is very good. The rest of us are still trying to figure it out, but God said it's very good. What's the point this morning? The point is, I think we've lost sight of that when it comes to the body of Christ. In fact, you know what we do? We do what Jeremiah did. Remember young Jeremiah? Remember Jeremiah, the first chapter? What did God say to Jeremiah? Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. And I, watch this, I formed you, I called, ordained you, and I called you. What was he saying to Jeremiah? He was saying, son, I've made you unique. I formed you. I knew you. In fact, he uses the word sanctified. I sanctified you. Do you know this morning? God knew you. He formed you. He sanctified you. That it means he set you apart for a purpose and for a reason. And I ordained you to fulfill that reason and that purpose. Do you know what Jeremiah's first words were? His first words. When God said, Jeremiah, I formed you, I knew you, I sanctified you, I ordained you. You know what his first words were? I can't. Oh, wow. Sound familiar to anybody? Jeremiah, I knew you, I formed you, I fashioned you in the womb, and I ordained you, and I've called you to be a prophet for the nations. And here's what Jeremiah says exactly. Oh, Lord. Behold, I cannot. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6. Isn't that most of our reactions? Oh, wait a minute. God begins to deal with you. He begins to put something. I want you to be a Sunday school teacher or sing on the praise team, or I want you to help keep the yards or keep up the church or whatever it might be. What's our first? Oh, Lord, I can't. Come on now. You know I'm right. We need some extra help, with sixth graders. How many of you know sixth graders need extra help? Woo, sixth graders need extra help. Need some extra help with sixth, and you approach, approach somebody, brother, we need some extra help with sixth graders, and I really feel God's gifted you. Oh, Lord, I can't. Come on now. You know, I'm speaking the truth this morning. Need some extra help in the kitchen? You know, we got a big event coming up. And oh, Lord, brother, you know that I can't. Come on now. Listen, I'm going to tell you, don't, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but if you have a musical talent, don't let us know. We're on the prowl. And you approach something, it's been so long since I've played and I can't and this and that and the other. Now, listen to me. And the idea is I can't. And God says this. You know what God's response was? God's response was, do not say that. That's a paraphrase of verse 7. That's what God said to him. He said, Jeremiah, stop saying that. Wow. Kevin, stop saying that you can't. KK, stop saying that you can't. Deidre, stop saying that you can't. Ron, stop saying that you can't. Scott, stop saying that you can't. You understand what I'm saying here? He said, look, I've ordained you. I knew you. I fashioned you. I formed you. You are unique. I made you uniquely. And so when I begin to come to you and I begin to call you and to call you into service and into ministry to the other parts of the body of Christ, know that you are uniquely fashioned and formed for that purpose. Stop saying I can't. Wow. Sure got quiet all of a sudden this morning. One observation is every member is unique. Paul put it in the Romans this way. He said, all members do not have the same function. That's what he said in Romans 12. All members do not have the same function. In Corinthians, he said this. He says, in fact, we are the body, but we are many members. Many members. You need to stop saying, I can. Not only did God make you unique so that you could. Somebody say, I can. Everybody say, I can. Because I'm unique. Not only did God make you unique, God also made you, the second observation is this, God made you necessary. God made you necessary. In other words, every member matters to the body of Christ. There are no unnecessary parts. There are no unnecessary parts. The way Paul put it in Corinthians, he said this, if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Right? What is he saying? What he's saying, what he's saying is this. It's the same thing we hear today. Well, if I could only sing like, I'd sing. Or if I could only preach like, or if I could only teach like, if I could only administrate like, if I could only help like, if I could only lead like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, I would. But because I can't, I can't. Wow. Every member is necessary. Every single member is necessary. See, it's interesting. Paul first approaches this from the point that every member is necessary, and then he approaches it from the point that no part alone is enough. Here's what he says. He says, for if the whole body were an eye, how would we hear? Or if the whole body were a hearing, how would we smell? But God has set all the members in place in the body. Here's the key, as it pleased him. Somebody tell me this morning, what is one of the areas, somebody holler out to me, what is one of the areas that is the most effective and powerful at the Rock Church? Somebody just throw something out. Okay, something is effective. Set myself up for that, I guess, right? Something is effective. So somebody please tell me something this morning that's a... Preaching. Okay, preaching. We'll take that. Preaching. Okay. Do you understand this? Listen to me this morning. Let's all agree that preaching is effective and one of the most powerful parts of the church. But do you understand this morning that no matter how good that preaching is, by itself, it's not enough? How long do you think we as a church could function if all we did on Sunday morning, how long would you come if all we did was, we never sang. We never met in small groups in Sunday schools and got to know each other. We never fellowshipped. We never took up an offering. Nobody ever had a chance to give, right? We never had a chance to fellowship with each other and get to, if we never did any of those things, but we preached. Oh, man, we preached, and we preached good. How long would this church last? A month? 2 months? You understand what I'm saying to you this morning? No matter how good one part alone is not enough. Every member is necessary. I was told by one of the surgeons here in town, I was told that there are more gallbladder surgeries now than ever before. In fact, he was saying that in particular, there are more gallbladder surgeries in younger people than there've ever been before. Now listen to me. But he told me something interesting. He said, but here's what's interesting. The gallbladder has a purpose in the body. Did you know that? The gallbladder assists the liver in removing bile, removing gall. It is the gallbladder. It removes gall from the system and separates out the poison. And when the gallbladder is taken out, watch this. When the gallbladder is taken out, the liver is under more strain. Now, can the body adjust? I know some of you are sitting here holding your side like, oh, my gallbladder is gone. But listen, can the body adjust? Yes, it adjusts. But in that adjustment period, and for some people far beyond, there is a difficult period there. Why? Because the body has to adjust. The liver has to take on more of a load. The liver is under a strain when the gallbladder is not there. Are you cluing in this morning? Can the body get by without some of its members? Well, it adjusts. The body adjusts. It finds a way to adjust, absolutely. But that puts a stress and a strain on the rest of the body. Why? Because every member is necessary. Wow. In fact, let me tell you something else that I learned about the appendix. The appendix, everybody says there's no modern day use for the appendix, and apparently, according to modern medicine, that is the case. That there seems to be no medical purpose for the appendix right now. But do you understand? But do you know that years ago, millennia ago, when humans were eating more natural foods, not processed, not sprayed, not grown, not packaged, natural foods with a lot of cellulose in it, it is theorized that the appendix was used to digest those foods and to allow the body to make use of them. But the more modern and the more sophisticated, the further we got away from authentic, real food and more processed food, and the more we processed our food, the less our body needed that part. And so it eventually became unuseful to the body, apparently. Now listen to me. Here's what I want you to know this morning. There are no appendixes in the body of Christ. And here's what I know. If the body of Christ is going to be an authentic body, if we are going to be an authentic body, we need every single member to be a minister because every member is necessary. We cannot be an authentic body without everybody that's a part of TRC functioning in their gifts, in their talents, in their abilities. We need every member because every member is necessary. Are you with me this morning? You understand what God's saying to us? In Ephesians, Paul put it this way. He said, the body growing up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by which every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share and causes growth for the body for the edifying of itself in love. What is that saying to us? You are unique. And you are necessary. Necessary. Last observation I want to make this morning is this. Every member is in need of every other member. Every member is in need of every other member. Do you know, there is something that jumps out to me. When you read the list, the four lists that we read this morning, there's actually five lists, but they're found in four places. Because in Corinthians, there's actually two separate lists there of things that are mentioned there. Listen to this list. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues. That's the list that's found in Ephesians. A list that's found somewhere else is the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. Another place is talks about administrative or management gifts. Another place, craftsmanship, encouragement, exhortation, giving, hospitality. I'm going to talk about that. Intercession, leadership, mercy. What does that really look like? Service, helps. All those are gifts that are given to the body of Christ. When I read through those lists, there's a couple of things that jump out to me that have to do with the fact that every member needs every other member. And one of the things is this. No person has all the gifts. Wow. Do you know one reason that every member needs every other member, Joy? It's because no one person has all the gifts. Now, there's some people that are talented. There's some people that have some tremendous abilities in this church. And there are some that you function in multiple areas. And I thank God that you do, because we could not do what we do without you. But no person here has all of the gifts. Nobody has all of the abilities. Nobody has all of the talents. Nobody has all of the spiritual gifts. Not only that, there is no gift which everybody has. You can't name me a single gift that every single person in the body of Christ has. There isn't a gift. So no person has all the gifts, and no gift is given to every person. Why is that? God designed it that way because every member needs every other member. He designed the body that way on purpose. Paul put it this way. Paul said this way. He said, can the foot say to the hand, I have no need of you. I don't need you. Or can the foot say to the eye, I have no need of you. What is he saying there? He said, I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And the head can't say to the feet, I have no need of you. What's the point? The point is that every member needs every other member. And I love how it's put here. Paul in verse 20, he says this way, for many members are one body. And then he turns around there and he says, and one body are many members. Do you see it? We need each other. Every one of us needs each other. And the reason for that is so that, there's two reasons for that. One is so that we would be connected and we would need each other. The other is so that no one person think that they're enough. In fact, Paul starts, one of the lists, he starts that way. He said, let every man not think more highly of himself than he ought to. The word there is think soberly. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying to those who think they're it, sober up. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, sober up. I don't know what you've been drinking, right? But you got this idea that you're it, that you're the whole church. You can function and run the whole church. Anybody ever been around anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. And Paul says, look, that's not the way the body works. Every member is unique. Every member is necessary. And every member needs every other member. Here's how he puts it in Romans. He says, then we have these differing gifts and graces given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us minister according to our ministering. If teaching in teaching, if exhorting in exhortation, in giving with liberality, in leading with diligence, with mercy, in mercy with cheerfulness. You know what he's saying? He's saying, look, if you have the gift of prophecy, we need you to prophesy. If you have the gift of miracles, we need you to operate in that gift of miracles. If you have the gift of ministering, we need you to operate in ministering. If you have the gift of teaching, we need you to teach. If you have the gift of exhortation, we need you to do it to exhort. If you have the gift of giving, we need you to give with liberality. If you have the gift of leadership, do it with diligence. If you have the gift of mercy, we need you to show that mercy with cheerfulness. That's what he's saying. He's saying every member is unique, every member is necessary, and every member needs every other member. What is he saying to us? He's saying to us what I said to you a while ago, the imperative. For the body of Christ to function fully, we must be fully equipped and fully effective. Therefore, every member must be a minister. See, here's what I believe. I believe God wants to carry the Rock Church to a higher place, another level in his plan and his purpose for us. I just do not believe this is all there is. There's more that God has in store, and there's more that God wants to do. What might it look like? Let me just try to pull this all together with you. Give me 5 more minutes, and let me just try to pull this together for you. What might it look like if truly the body begins to function as the body, where every person here discovers their gifts and they begin to function and to walk in those gifts and begin to walk those gifts out? And some of you, this is a side note, but it just occurs to me, some of you don't even know that you got gifts. You don't even realize they're a benefit to the body of Christ. Donnie sits back there. Donnie's a craftsman. Now Margaret says Donnie's crafty. I say Donnie's a craftsman. That's two different things, you know. Donnie, you know I love you. But Donnie said, he doesn't even realize that craftsmanship, he may not even realize craftsmanship is something that is used in the body of Christ, not only here around this facility, but there may be widows that are here that need someone to help nail a nail or turn a screw or put a doorknob on. What is that? That's body ministry. There's Scott back there. Scott's got the gift of gab. He makes his living talking. There's a place in the body of Christ for that. Not only that, he's an entrepreneur, and so he has those skills. What is that? There's a place in the body of Christ to use those gifts and to use those skills. There's some of you, as I look around, I really don't have many gifts and skills. I mean, I cook a pretty good cake. Guess what? There's a place in the body of Christ for that. No, I'm serious. It's called hospitality. And there's places in the body of Christ. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. What might it look like? What might it look like if the body of Christ truly began to function? And what if we had care teams? Watch this. That went out to touch people those teams had somebody with the gift of hospitality and somebody with the gift of helps and somebody with the gift of craftsmanship and somebody with the gift of encouragement. And as a team, they went to somebody's house and they began to minister to them. And somebody sees there's somebody that is sick and they've been sick a long time, and we can care one of those teams. And oh man, there's somebody with the gift of helps, and they just come along beside and begin to help. Or there's somebody on that team that has craftsmanship, and they begin to see there's a door that needs that's dragging and needs to be hinged up, or there's some dishes there that need to be washed, or somebody is on that team that has the gift of encouragement, and they just come in there, and man, the room just begins to lighten up. Listen, isn't that body ministry? What could God do through TRC? If we began to function with the body of Christ, and you could develop care teams that had helps and craftsmanship and hospitality and encouragement, all those gifts represented on those teams, I believe this. I believe God would be glorified in that. And I believe the body would be healthier because of it. Or what about hospital visits? You know, I do as many hospital visits as is needed, and I will continue to do that. And as far as I can, that's part of what I do. I continue to do that. But what if, in addition to that, what if I could send a team to the hospital? And on that team is somebody that operates in the gift of mercy. And on that team is somebody that operates in the gift of intercession. And on that team is somebody that operates in the gifts of healing. What, can you understand how much more powerful that would be than the pastor just dropping by? All of a sudden, man, you got walking into this room, you've got a team of ministers that are coming, and one individual comes in and they begin to encourage and to exhort and uplift, and another individual they just kind of go to the corner, man. They just start praying. They just start interceding. They, man, when they're walking in the room, in fact, they've been praying in the parking lot because they're an intercessor, and they walk in that room, and then they walk in with somebody that has the gift of healing operating in their life. Man, I'm telling you, when that happens, then God shows up in that room. It's not just a visit from the pastor or somebody dropping by to say, oh, I hope you feel better. They've come as the body of Christ. Wow. What is that? That's how God wants the church to operate. And I think every one of you here this morning represent a part of that type of a ministry, that type of a function of the body of Christ. What about, listen, you mentioned preaching a while ago. You mentioned preaching a while ago. And I love to preach. I love to preach. But what if we had a series where somebody who preaches more evangelistically has that gift of the evangelist operating in. They take one Sunday, and somebody that has the gift of the encourager takes another Sunday, and somebody that has a prophetic gift takes another Sunday, and we begin to preach through a subject, and all of a sudden, you aren't just hearing it from one perspective. You hear what the evangelist has to say, and what the prophet has to say, and what the encourager has to say, and what the teacher has to say. Man, you know what begins to happen that way? What begins to happen is the body then truly begins to become healthy and function as a body. In fact, we've had a couple of examples of that this year. This year, we've already had a couple of examples of that. Can I tell you the most, as far as pulpit ministry is concerned, two of the most powerful things that have happened this year? Two of the most powerful things that have happened this year. One had to do with witnessing. And I preached, but in the middle of that series, you remember I brought Casey Lynn in, and Casey Lynn began, she has an evangelistic heart, and she was able to share with you some things, some evangelistic tools, and to share with you a personal a testimony about what God had done through her and in her. And she came and just begins to minister that. So it wasn't just Pastor Glenn speaking about it. It's Pastor Casey Lynn speaking about it as well. And it brought a whole different emphasis, a whole different dynamic to that ministry, to that series that we preached. One of those powerful things that's happened all year as far as pulpit ministry is concerned did not start with me. It started with Pastor Ernest. Remember? The separated life. Remember, he came just one Sunday. He came to my office and he said, Pastor, I got this idea. And he didn't know the whole time. My wheels are just turning the whole time. He said, I've got this idea and I want you to just help me develop this idea. And we sat and we talked and helped him develop out that idea. And then when we got to the end of it, I said, now you're going to preach it. He said, where? You're going to preach it here? And that began, you remember the series about the separated life. I'm still getting comments about that series about the separated life. That didn't start with Pastor Glenn. It started with Pastor Ernest. Why? Because he had a heart for that. And God began to do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? There is no place in this body that is fully functioning completely like it ought to because everybody hasn't learned their gifts and aren't fully functioning in those gifts. What I want to say to you this morning is this. I believe with all my heart that we have to do this. We have to spend some time learning about the gifts and spend some time learning which gifts are present in me. And spend some time learning how those gifts minister in the body of Christ and where they fit and how they function together. And that's what we're going to spend a season talking about various aspects of it. What I want to say to you this morning is you matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you this morning? We cannot do what we do without you. And we cannot do what God wants us to do without you. Those that are on some of the leadership teams and have positions of leadership, occasionally I will include in an email I send to them, we cannot do what we do without you. Listen to me, I don't just put that in there as a word of encouragement. I put that in there because I mean it. We cannot do what we do without you. Rebecca, we cannot do what we do without you. Melissa, we cannot do what we do without you. Kevin, we cannot do what we do without you. Chase, we cannot do what we do without you. And we certainly can't do all that God desires and plans and wishes for us to do without every one of you, Stacy and Mary and Crystal. Right? Christian, Mike, Beverly, Geraldine, Curtis, Michelle, every one of you this morning. Sister Hattie, I'm told by Danielle that when she heard that tomorrow night is the ladies' rock garden and roast was going to be fixed and that Geraldine was inviting the ladies to bring a dish to go with it. I'm told by Danielle was just so excited. Because she says, I can't do much, but I can cook. You know what that is? That's body ministry, Miss Hattie. That's body ministry. And say, look, I can't preach, and I'm not going to try to be a preacher. I can't sing. I'm not going to try to be a singer. Listen, I'm way past teaching. I'm not going to try to be a teacher. But I can cook. I can add what I can add. I can supply what I can supply. I can do what I can do. And what I'm telling you this morning is this. God has a place for you. And I'm not asking you to function outside of that which is God given to you. What I am saying to you is God wants you to do what you can do. If it's cook a pot of butter beans, or if it's visit somebody at the hospital and the gift of intercession touch them, or if it's me be able to call you up and say, listen, so-and-so is going through something, but you're an encourager. You're an encourager. So I just want you to drop them a note or drop them a card and encourage them and strengthen them. All I'm saying to you this morning is we need you to do what you can do. God needs you to do what you can do. The world needs you to do what you can do. Why? Because for us to be fully effective as the body of Christ, every member must be a minister. Now, is that a good word this morning? If that's a good word this morning, you say amen. Now, amen means let it be so. Let it be so. When you say amen to that, what you're saying is, Lord, two things. You're saying, Lord, I want the body of Christ at TRC to function that way, and I want to function in my role. I want to do what I do. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Father, with the acclamation of amen, this body has affirmed that we want the Rock Church to be more than it is as of yet. We thank you for what you have done. God, as I look around this auditorium this morning and I see faces who weren't here a year ago and lives that are transformed, Lord, I thank you for all that you have done, but we know there's so much more in store. God, I want this morning for every person here to know how unique they are, how necessary they are, and how much we need them and they need us. And so with the affirmation of amen, we've said we want TRC to function at a higher level, more like the body of Christ. And with the affirmation of amen, we have said, I'm committed to do what I do. I'm committed to use the gifts, to use the talents, to discover them, and to grow in them, and to develop them within the body that God has placed me in such a way that I can add to the body. Lord, I praise you, and I thank you for that this morning. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to add your confirmation to this emphasis that we're doing, and God, raise us up as the body of Christ. For indeed, Lord, we want to be all that you've called us to be and all that you've designed us to be. There are no appendices in the body of Christ. Everyone is unique. Everyone is necessary. Everyone is needed. And we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now focus in right in here before you leave. I'm going to dismiss you here in just a second. Listen to me. This is a season when God can transform your life. Listen, there are a few things other than your salvation. There are a few things that will empower you, like understanding your purpose in this body and the way God's given and gifted you to fulfill that purpose. I encourage you. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying and tune in. And let's allow God to raise you up. You need for God to do this in your life. And I believe he's going to use the pulpit ministry and the teaching ministry for the next few weeks to help us do that. Amen. Amen. Till I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord.